Well, it is the Academy Awards tonight, and I invite us to sort of take a little trip through these readings and imagine what if Academy Awards were given to some of these readings and to some of these characters. So, let's take the first reading. The story of Saul and David from the Book of Samuel. I'd like to nominate that as the best darn film. Why? It's a bit ancient, it's a bit foreign, and we're trying to, you know, those ancient Jews, what were they up to with this tendency of battling each other? And Saul and David, the drama. Notice the tension in the drama. Would he or would he not kill Saul? We had him. It was the sitting duck and the rivalry. And yet David's respect for the anointed one. Notice the drama. Picture it. 3,000 picked men of Israel to search for David in the desert of Ziph. Saul was looking to kill David. So David and Abishai went among Saul's soldiers at night and found Saul lying asleep within the barricade. He had him in his sights. Can you imagine that? And his friends were saying, here's the spear. Here's the guy who's looking for you. Kill him. And he saw all the others. There was a setup. Notice the dramatic action. David took the spear and the water jug from their place in Saul's, and they got away without anyone seeing or knowing or waking. They all remained asleep. Now that's a good bedtime story if you present it right. Why though? That's the essence. Because the Lord was there guiding David. And not to do this now. And it is in a sort of way I would nominate David as the best supporting actor, okay? Why? Because he was supported by the Spirit of God. And because of his heroic mercy, the Lord will reward each person for justice and faithfulness. Today, though the Lord deliver you into my grasp, I will not harm the Lord's anointed one. One of the great, gracious, magnanimous actions of history. David showed his great leadership and great sense of mercy following the Spirit, sensing that indeed he was supported by God's Spirit, even though at times he was a sinner. Now, let's check the second reading. I'd like to suggest the best original screenplay. Why? Because this chapter 15, we've heard it the last 2 weeks, we heard it tonight, we're going to hear it next week. Chapter 15 of the Corinthians is one of the most important chapters in all of the Bible. It's original in the sense it's really thematizing the essence of our faith, the resurrection. Here's the tension in that situation. Paul has sent, wrote a letter, it's probably Titus or Timothy delivering it. Paul's on another island and he hears people are no longer believing in the resurrection. Why? Hey, gang, it's 30 years, 20 years after Jesus died, and he's supposed to come again. Well, when is he supposed to come again? And if he's not here, is the resurrection really true? So Paul really casts this issue. And in this chapter 15, it almost in some parts became part of the early liturgy of the church. The screenplay, the drama of the letters, was saying, what does it mean to be a believer? In the early church, as well as now, is Jesus risen? How do we know? The tension is there. And the dramatic sequence of the last couple of Sundays and next Sunday, ultimately leading us, preparing us for Lent. Do we believe in the resurrection that's going to happen at the end of Lent in our faith? The best picture, Luke's Gospel. Now, we have to understand this, chapter 6, of this and the previous Sundays was a buildup. Here's the scene. A couple of weeks ago, Jesus is up on a mountain praying and calling his disciples. This is Luke's version of the sermon of the, not on the mount, but Luke has Jesus come down after calling the disciples, and we have the Beatitudes of Mark, of Luke's Gospel, 2 weeks ago. Moving forward, last week was the cost of the discipleship. And here we have Jesus teaching his disciples. What's he doing? he's preparing this whole dramatic way of Luke's gospel that we're going to hear the entire year, scene after scene, compassion, mercy, cures, all this is being packed. And Luke is preparing, as Jesus, preparing his disciples. Well, what's going to happen to them? Can we identify with that? Where is the tension in our life? And how is Jesus calling us to sacrifice and notice, to be prepared to be merciful, just as your Father is merciful? Where do we need that in our life? Where do we need to seek forgiveness as well as to give it? And then the powerful words, for the measure with which you measure will in turn be measured out to you. Let's bracket the Oscars and the movie, and let's go to the Vatican this morning. These were the words that Pope Francis took up and the homilists of the final concluding liturgy of that four-day historical meeting. And it spoke to a church awaiting, waiting for hope. Notice that recognizing the brokenness in our church, quote, let me say, one commentator said that the major themes were these, the best practices that the church needs to look at, the protection of children, impeccable seriousness of this issue around the globe, genuine purification, formation of priests and religious in authority, strengthening and reviewing guidelines by episcopal conferences around the globe, accompaniment of those who have been abused as a priority, and looking at the tragic world of the digital world and sexual tourism. These were the major themes. Where did the Pope go with it? Quote, the holy fear of God leads us to accuse ourselves, namely the bishops and himself, as individuals and as an institution. How are we have to be aware of our own, perhaps, culpability, and certainly priests, and to make up for our failures, particularly to the survivors. He said, adding that the church cannot fall into the trap of blaming others, which is a step towards the alibi that separates us from reality. Then the homilist was given by Archbishop Mark Coleridge of Brisbane, Australia. And his words was looking at that in a dynamic way. When he spoke that calling for a Copernican revolution, Copernicus, 16th century, looked at the whole sense, a new model of the universe. The world does not, the universe does not revolve around the planet Earth, nor the sun. We revolve around the sun. We take it for granted. Copernicus proved it. Now a bishop is using this image, calling us to discover a new way of being a church, a revolution around compassion, and looking at new ways of authority, new structures need to be created. Let me end with a parable. Shortly after I was ordained, I worked in California with a group of separated and divorced and widowed. Men and women who were broken. And they gave me as a departing gift when I left California and moved into the new ministry in Pennsylvania, a plate. A plate that had the words of my ordination first mass from the Ephesians, may you be rooted and established in love. So the beautiful plate and chalice made by a potter who was part of the community out there. And so when I got it in Pennsylvania, I went and I opened it, the box, and I saw, tragically, it was broken. Broken in several pieces. There was the brokenness that there's a material, but symbolically it meant here were men and women who were broken. And then what they gave me broke. And it said, what do I do with this? What do I do with it? And I've used it in certain circumstances, and I think it speaks to where we are as church. We're broken, and yet we're rooted and established in love. A few weeks later, the same community of faith gave me something different. They nailed a new plea, established and rooted in love. With the same, almost the same design, but it's still different. Broken and a new way of living and loving. This is what we need to create, my brothers and sisters, in the church. This is what we need. In our brokenness, we are involved in historical drama, needing hope, needing forgiveness, needing the courage to stand up for injustice. And all those survivors who spoke up and said no, no more. That woman religious from Nigeria who challenged the Pope and the bishops, you cannot do this anymore. That's rooted and established in love. This is what we pray for. Our intercessions each time we gather as a broken people, individually, collectively, and certainly as a broken church, we can move the world into a recognition that any child abused is a sense of outrage and injustice. We can create new structures. Why? Because we believe in the Christ who encourages us, whose spirit moves us to be rooted and established in love. And so, the final piece, back to the Oscars. The final reward is the best actor. You, men and women, are the best actors when you call forth and believe in the love of Christ, which gathers us each time in word and sacrament to go out to create a revolution of love that was first established in Luke's and in Scriptures that we heard each time as we gather together in hope and faith and in love.